Live from Commodity Classic in Orlando, Florida, I'm Ken Root along with Dustin Hoffman. Actually, it's not live. We're recording this ahead, and by the time we get through this giant trade show, Dustin, we may not be alive because it's huge.
Yes, that it is. It is a massive indoor program we've got going on here, but vendors from all over the country, producers from all over the country here. It's a great time here to talk agriculture in Orlando and where the grass is green and we actually can think about spring.
I can't believe that so many people from the upper Midwest will lay down their snow shovel and come here.
I can't figure out why they would do that either. I mean, who doesn't love to be going through a 14-foot snowdrift right now?
I know that there are people that they're missing their relatives who are up there, and they're probably calling back and giving them a lot of descriptions of, like, green grass and mild weather and low winds. I bet the people at home are really entertained by these phone calls.
You know, and it's even entertaining for us that are out here because, like this morning, getting on the charter bus to come over to the event, you know, we have a young woman outside who's helping keep everything coordinated, out in a jacket saying, it's really chilly out here this morning. And some of us in the Midwest are saying, really, we're starting to sweat.
Well, it's all how you look at it. I recall coming to Florida one time in the winter, and as we left, it was 75 degrees, but it was raining. And the people were just unhappy, to say the least. I got up to Fargo, North Dakota, went to a meeting of a group of people who were all smiling, and it was wonderful. We had to walk through almost a snow tunnel, and it was about 10 below zero. And what I figure out is all the people with a bad attitude moved to Florida.
That must be it. I don't know. This is my first time here, so I'm just finding that out.
Well, this show really reveals a lot of things about the industry, because if you're anybody, you're at this event, which I think is going on 28 years, I believe. Started in 1995, so do the math. And the things we've seen are the leading edge of industry.
Yes, that they are. And this is where you're seeing rollouts of new technology, new traits and genetics, or maybe new products that you can use in your field to keep an eye on your products.
For me, it's fun because I see people who are old friends who have been working this show for years. In some cases, you have to check who they're working for because the company they used to be with doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly it. In fact, the people we're talking to, like you said, okay, is it Monsanto or is it Bayer? Is it this person or is it that person? There's been a lot of change in the climate.
Throughout the show today, we're going to give you what we're learning from the trade show floor from a large number of the exhibitors. Some of them are fun to talk to. Some of them are highly intellectual in what they're talking about. Some are new leading-edge technologies. And some are, like the company we're standing in now, Farmers Business Network, offering things to farmers that we forgot about. You know, they're offering conventional corn back to farmers at a much lower price. Talk to a lady that we'll play who is offering health care for farmers through this Farmers Business Network. Unusual, Dustin.
Yes, that it is. And it's about finding that way of saving money for the farmers. I mean, input costs are high. We see profit margins are tight. It's seeing these companies and places like Farmers Business Network here coming together to help farmers any way they can.
Now, the two of us have omitted Anna from having to do any work here because we've placed our workload back at home on her. And although she's rejoicing in us not being there and getting to play in the snow alone, I do think that we should not make her help us this week. Don't you agree?
I think so. She's got her plate full enough already. And, you know, the last thing she needs is a bombardment of emails from us telling her how nice it is here.
Right. Although phone calls are appreciated, I'm sure. So if you'll call her a couple of times between now and the end of the week, I'd appreciate that. Let's go to it. Let's go talk to people. Here's what's coming up. Remember the Gleaner Combine, the great workhorse of the plains? AGCO still makes the brand, and it has some advantages over some of the larger machines. And a new source of nitrogen from symbiotic bacteria, the first generation from Pivot Bio, is said to produce 25 pounds of nitrogen fertilizer that does not leach and is available for plant growth. Commodity Classic began in 1995. It's now the annual gathering of corn, soybean, wheat, and grain sorghum producers. About 9,000 people, including exhibitors, are attending in Orlando this year. We continue our coverage in a moment.
This is Weekend Ag Matters on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Are you confident in your crop insurance? If you make the same insurance selections year after year, you might be paying for more than you need or not fully covering your risk. That's why Farmers Business Network now offers crop insurance. We use data to help you make smarter coverage decisions. Get a free personal analysis with our local agents by calling 844-200-FARM or visit fbn.com/insurance for full program restrictions and details. Terms and conditions apply. FBN Insurance Services are offered by FBN Insurance LLC and available only where licensed. FBN membership not required.
We're back on Weekend Ag Matters here at 2019 Commodity Classic in sunny Orlando, where the grass is green and the girls are pretty, if you want to go back to the old Guns N' Roses song there. Right now we're at the BASF booth talking with Mark Hubler. And Mark, today we're going to be talking about soybeans. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with us.
Nice to be here, Dustin.
All right, so soybeans, what is it BASF is bringing to the table this year that's got you guys really excited?
Yeah, so what's most exciting for the 2019 crop year is that we're launching 13 new varieties with the LibertyLink GT27 trait in the Credenz soybean brand.
So what is it about that genetic trait that is going to set it apart and make it a good tool to be using, a good product to be using?
Well, really two things mainly. So the elite genetics that we're coming to market with in the Credenz brand is second to none. We've seen anywhere from 2 to 4 bushel advantage over current trait systems in the market today. On top of that, the weed control aspect of it is everybody is concerned about weed control and how are they going to, you know, really take care of some of the more difficult to control weeds in their soybean field. So this product actually is the first one on the market that provides herbicide tolerance to both glyphosate as well as Liberty herbicide. So really just opens up a lot of opportunities, choices for growers to be able to control their weeds.
You know, and that's a theme we're starting to see in agriculture, where you're trying to find ways to be able to use different tools in the toolbox. I mean, we have these great genetics, great technology across the board, and BASF is bringing a lot of those to the table. But, you know, when you're able to utilize a lot of those technologies in the same field, it makes things a little bit easier, especially with inputs and profit margins being what they are for producers.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, that's one of the most important things I think growers need to consider when they're selecting their soybean seed for the 19 crop year is, what weeds do I have and how am I going to be able to control those? So here at BASF, certainly we are committed to the residual aspect of herbicides and soybeans, so we always want an effective mode of action that provides residual control both in the pre as well as in the post. So we've seen tremendous success with LibertyLink over the years. We're seeing now with the new trait LibertyLink GT27 just an enhancement of that system, both from a genetic standpoint and then, like I said, just providing more options for weed control.
You know, and, you know, with the being rolling out this year, obviously you ran trials last year, and we talk about the weed resistance and being able to combat that, but also the environmental situations we had. Last year, no matter where you were in the country, you got thrown a curveball of some way. I mean, Iowa was a great example. Too wet in the north, too dry in the south. I mean, how do these traits stack up under these extreme weather conditions? I mean, that's something you can't plan for, but you also get to see then how it handles it.
Yeah, first and foremost, I think, you know, from a genetic standpoint, is you're looking for agronomic characteristics. So standability, you know, disease, how these plants tolerate drought, for example. So all of those things are a part of what we're bringing to market. We thoroughly test these prior to coming to the market. So we feel like our portfolio will have the right product for whatever acre a grower has. But there is some prescription to it. You want to make sure that you understand what the grower's issues and problems are and then find the right variety for that field.
And so how many different varieties are we going to be seeing this technology rolling out in?
Yeah, for 2019, we're going to have 13 varieties with the LibertyLink GT27 technology. For 2020, we're going to add 24 new varieties, so around 35 to 37 varieties by 2020.
So definitely have something for everybody, no matter what region of the country they're in, soil types, different things that they need to take into account.
Yeah, so right now the technology is going to be offered in maturity group 0 through 4. through about a mid-4. So unfortunately, we don't have some of the later maturities right now, but really focused on that Midwest soybean grower.
And that's usually where your proving ground is when you're talking corn and soybeans, is in that Midwest area. I mean, that's the breadbasket. And once you've got that place nailed down, that's when you can kind of expand out to the other parts of the country to find what works for them.
Yeah, that's where the acres are. That's where the focus is right now. We still have elite genetics with the Liberty Link trait for other growing areas as well. So we're providing, we are a national soybean brand. In less than 5 years, we actually became the 10th most planted soybean seed brand in the U.S. So we're a growing, young growing brand, but we are offering maturity groups from 0 to 7.
All right. So as we get ready to wrap up here today, Mark, anything that you want to kind of add or where they can find information about the traits that you guys are talking about?
I think the best thing is to contact their local Credenz retailer to find out more about the new Liberty Link GT27 varieties. And then they can also go online, obviously, at the BASF.com website in the product page and look up Credenz and find all the information there as well.
All right. Well, Mark, I thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
That's Mark Hubler with BASF as we continue Weekend Ag Matters from Commodity Classic in Orlando.
This is Ken Root at Commodity Classic, and I think one of the challenges, figure out the products that you know the names of and who the company is that owns them. Caleb Schlater is with AGCO, and AGCO for years has had what I would call legacy brand names of equipment. Gleaner combine setting here. Boy, when I was a kid, a Gleaner was the number one combine in our part of the world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We've seen that the distribution of the Gleaner, when you go back to the L series, the C series, everybody has had one of those on their operation. We talk to individuals every day where it's, oh, my grandpa ran Gleaner. But the key thing is where we've gone now with the S9 series, this Gleaner S9 series is sitting right in front of us, is the capacity increase, the intuitiveness of the technology. It is a different machine than what anybody's ever seen on their operation prior, but it still holds true to the fundamental values of Gleaner, being light and nimble, being able to maneuver through the fields easily, making sure we're delivering what a customer needs. And then also, the key point there is total cost of ownership. Because of the simplicity, because of the design, we're able to manage that total cost of ownership and improve the ROI or the return on investment for our customers in the field.
Well, I like a name that I can remember and that I have confidence in, but if you don't meet the same standards as the other combines, then you're right. You've got to consider that as well. But it looks like that you have the same capacity, and the machine looks like it's easy to get to the insides, and it looks like it's got drive on the rear wheels. Is that correct? So you can get out of a muddy spot?
Oh, you betcha. And because of the lightweightness of it as well, we're only 32,000 pounds. That's about 10 to 15,000 pounds lighter than every other combine in the marketplace today. That means we're able to go into places we can't, that others can't, in key points of harvest. When you have a rain like this past harvest, we all know how wet it was all across North America, allows us to make sure that we're able to get in the field. The other key thing is, like you said, the serviceability. Everything is accessed from essentially the ground. You flip open a shield, you can get to everything. You can see it, you can make sure that you can go in and do the appropriate service intervals that you need to do, all by keeping your feet solid on the ground.
What header capacity could you run for corn, and how wide a head could you run for soybeans on this machine?
So on this machine, what we've seen is we can put up to a 12-row corn head. There's other customers who have put up a wider corn head, but from our standpoint, we put up a 12-row. We also have a 40-foot draper head that we've put on the front of this, but once again, there's other heads out in the marketplace, so we've seen a little bit wider go on the front of the Gleaner combine as well.
Well, I see people that, they want to go with a big, wider head, but it's so much more difficult to get them around. And I wonder if you do the math on if you run faster with a narrower head and you can get across the bridges without taking it off, do you kind of have a push there at the end with a cheaper machine?
Well, it always is up to what your operation needs. And when you start diving into that math, when you start figuring out, this is the extra cost that it's going to cost me in order to go with the larger head, what's my opportunity cost from a standpoint? Do I have the time to take it off the ground and put it onto a header cart? Do I have the time to hook it up at every other field? So it's really a matter of, is it right for your operation to go to the shorter head, or is it right for your operation to stay with the wider head?
Well, I know you guys have a number of other brands that are here. You go all the way from sprayers to combines and tractors. And yes. There are dealers and dealer service across the country, aren't there?
Yes. So our dealer network, we have them in every state and across the country. We had an established dealer network for a while with AGCO Corporation. And as we've built up our brands, as we've built up our distribution, we've been able to have those dealers take care of our customers.
Caleb, thank you very much for talking to us, and good luck here at the Commodity Classic in Orlando.
Oh, greatly appreciate you as well.
We're here at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network's continuing coverage of the 2019 Commodity Classic, and right now we're at the Farmers Business Network booth, and I am talking with Kevin McNew. Kevin, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with us.
Oh, you bet, Dustin. Glad to be here.
So earlier this last year, we talked at Farm Progress about marketing, and we talked about some of the challenges that we were talking maybe coming, and now those challenges they've come. 2018 really threw us some curveballs, especially after the time we talked at Farm Progress. In fact, I think that day when the rain came, that's when she opened up.
Exactly. You know, that was kind of a monumental day, not only in terms of the rain, but in terms of the markets. The China thing hit its full speed at that point. And here we are in nearly March, and we still have this overhang of the Chinese trade debacle. And, you know, farmers are trying to make planning decisions, so it's a very challenging time right now.
Yeah, we're 10 months into this, and marketing is a real issue. For one thing, they're holding on to the crops because of the fact that there's just no real demand for them, or they're not being able to move them as quickly, but also the fact that they've also got now crops that, because of the weather conditions we saw, and this is something that happened across the country, not just in Iowa, you know, across the Midwest, but they've got crops that maybe have quality issues that they want to start getting rid of, too.
Absolutely. You know, it's such a trying time. You know, we have very little export movement in terms of the broader soybean market. Yes, we're getting some deals with China as good faith gestures from them at this point, but we are still losing massive sales overall over the marketing year, and that's going to be an overhang that we're going to be dealing with for years to come.
Well, and you know, the thing is, you can promise to buy these corn and beans, and that looks great on the reports, but until those ships actually dock in Beijing, it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. You know, and you know, this latest news around a 10 million metric ton sale, is that going to be old crop? Is that going to be new crop? You know, what is that transaction going to look like? So the market, you know, it gets this news, it rallies a few minutes almost, and then it just shrugs it off, because the underlying theme is big stocks.
And so leading into FBN really now has a new tool here to help its members do market and do it smarter and without the emotion involved sometimes that you have to deal with.
Exactly. That's one of the biggest challenges of farming, is knowing when to pull the trigger. And so our FBN Index Plus contract is a great way to take that emotion out. It's systematically pricing your grain throughout the growing season. And at the end of the season, when you go to harvest those bushels and sell them, you can pick any cash market you want. Maximize that basis. So that's what our mission is, to, you know, untether that farmer from any one buyer and let him capture the best opportunities.
And when you talk about marketing, you know, we talk good years, bad years, but is that really the challenge that kind of overhangs and overshadows all these years that we have, is knowing when to do it?
Exactly. You know, this year more than any, we have so much uncertainty. When will this Chinese trade deal get resolved? You know, what will acreage look like next year? Those two things are bigger uncertainties than we probably had in a decade. And so I think this year in particular, you know, take the emotion out of it with a systematic contract like the Index Plus.
So tell us a little bit how it works for the person that's going to be using it, what they're going to see.
Yeah, what we like to do is recommend people do 10 to 20% of their crop on it. Don't put all of your crop in it. You know, it's like a portfolio. Diversify your portfolio, diversify your pricing. And so we're advising people to put 10 to 20% of their bushels in the contract. It's systematically over the course of the growing season, pricing it and trying to help you get a average longer term price than just trying to pick the market.
All right, so if they want information on how to use it, where they can get it, how do they find that information, Kevin?
You know, the best place is our website, fbn.com. You know, take a look there under crop marketing and you'll see what the program's all about.
All right, Kevin, I thank you very much for taking a few minutes out of your day to talk with us.
Awesome. Thanks, Dustin. Enjoy the show.
Ernie Sanders from Pivot Bio is with me, Vice President Product Development. Background before you came here, since you're a man of some experience, and this company's brand new.
Yes, I do have some experience. I worked for 38 years at a multinational company, had a chance to work with many different crops and in different geographies around the world launching products.
I would think that today you're simply telling some people what Pivot Bio is. So can you tell our listeners what that is?
Yes, I'll be glad to. Pivot Bio is a new company that is on the marketplace with a biological product that takes nitrogen out of the air, makes ammonia, and feeds it to corn roots.
Now, what would be the advantage of that?
So there's several great advantages. This one goes down at planting. Once it starts growing on the root, it stays there throughout the whole season. Our biological product doesn't wash away under heavy rains, so you get nitrogen produced into ammonia on a daily basis to feed those corn roots, and you get it season long.
So it doesn't leach?
No, we do not see any leaching. The biological product itself, the microbe, sticks to the root surface, the outside surface. It doesn't go into the plant, and it doesn't translocate within the plant.
So the nitrogen theoretically comes out of the microbe and goes into the root of the plant.
That is correct. It comes out, and when you make ammonia, the corn has an active uptake of ammonia, and it's right there on the root hairs, on the roots, where it's taken up almost immediately.
So there's an efficiency there, but what I'm thinking is we have so many complaints about nitrogen leaching, both of farmers losing value and it winding up in the water. Could this not eliminate, but reduce that?
This definitely could reduce that. But there's two benefits that have to happen. One is it has to be a driver for a grower. There has to be a return on investment. There has to be profitability for a grower to do any practice. And then the added benefit is this is good for the land, good for the environment, good for the planet. You know, I got grandkids. I want them to have a great place to live too.
How much nitrogen per acre can you get from these bacteria?
The current Generation 1 product that we're launching, Pivot Bio Proven, has about 25 to 30 pounds equivalent of nitrogen per acre.
And when do you get that nitrogen? Do you have to wait for the bacteria to grow to a certain level? When does it start coming up to the plant?
So each little microbe produces what it produces, but you get the most effect between V6 and R2. That's when the root system is the biggest, and we have the most microbes producing in that window.
So there's other nitrogen you have to put on. Does that other nitrogen compete with or damage the bacteria?
No, it doesn't. So I have nothing against synthetic nitrogen. Synthetic nitrogen's been feeding the world for years. We have the opportunity to either reduce what you apply from a synthetic nitrogen standpoint or become the core of what's there. You can count on our 25 to 30 pounds being there and then build the rest of your nitrogen program around that because we're not leaching away.
You probably don't want to look this far forward, but there's quite a number of watersheds that would love to be able to have some way to cut the nitrogen coming off the fields, leaching into the water, and they'd also like to not have to confront farmers and make them reduce their fertilization.
Yes. So I want to look that far away, but the first thing I want to do is be sure that farmers understand that there are benefits of this product for them directly today as we launch it. But when you start looking at the benefits of reducing nitrogen, we did the calculation at Pivot that says if every single grower on 92 million acres reduced their nitrogen by 25 pounds, it would be equivalent to taking 1 million cars off the road from a pollution standpoint. And I think we can equate that to some less nitrogen in the water table as well. So these are really staggering numbers. We're certainly not on every single acre, and I don't want to pretend we are. But it's great to have a product that has those benefits, and we're looking for second-generation products to come behind it.
Ernie, when is the first of this going to be available commercially?
Well, we're super excited because this is our launch year. Now, we've been a little product limited this year, so we're 100% sold out for 2019. But we have encouraged you to go our website and start looking at 2020 and beyond.
Ernie Sanders, thank you very much for speaking with us from Pivot Bio.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps up the show. Dustin, we've had a good time. We've covered a lot of territory here in a half hour.
Yeah, I haven't done this much running around since PE, and I can see now that after 20 years of being out of high school, there's a reason I haven't done that much running anymore.
Gosh, you meet a lot of good people here. You realize that although agriculture has its stresses, American agriculture has the greatest amount of technology available to the farm gate of any place in the world.
You know, and that's it. And the thing is, it's really amazing to me is that we have all this technology, we have all these new trends in farming. But the thing is, it really comes back down to the core principles. You're trying to grow the best crop you can for the least amount of money to make the most amount of money. And it all comes down to getting ahead of the weeds, getting ahead of the pests, and also taking the data and how you use it. We're not using file cabinets anymore. We're using iPads. But the principles have really never changed. It's just how you're applying those principles now.
And people are the core of it. Yes. People talking with people, people interacting in totally new ways, but still it's good people acting to help other good people, and it seems to work.
It's that concrete foundation that we've been using for generations in agriculture.
Dustin Hoffman, Ken Root here at Commodity Classic in Orlando, Florida, and we will see you back in Iowa sometime. I'm not sure if my plane's leaving in the near future.
I don't know either. It all depends on what the snow falls.